dear festive guest of the summer services in the midst of this summer. This is the Sunday of Transfiguration, as we already heard. The gospel text can be found from the 17th chapter of St. Matthew. Let us raise, stand up to listen to these words. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. He said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Amen. As a priest, minister, I have been in more than 200 churches to do some kind of duty. And on that journey, I have been interested in especially the altar, the figures on the altar, and the most famous topic in those has been the transfiguration of Jesus, and how he was transfigured at the mountain. And that is no wonder, because such marvelous things took place on that mountain. There Jesus was transfigured. Peter, Jacob, and John saw this, and they saw him as God. Was that mountain having some snow or some certain mountain in Tabor mountain or in Galilee or some other mountain? It's not so important that which mountain it was. But the more important question is that what was the reason why God wanted to transfigure his son? Was the intention of God to strengthen the future leaders of the congregation in their faith? Because Jesus was just a normal Jewish man by his form. He didn't resemble any son of God by his outward figure. But he had come from the heaven glory. He had become as a man. And the reason was this, because we are not able to atone our own sins. Although the deeds and words of Jesus had been powerful, disciples were certainly thinking that, is this Jesus of Nazareth really the promised Savior, Messiah? At this mountain of transfiguration, Jesus' face shed like the sun, and shone as a sun, and his clothes were like the light. And that wasn't even enough, but as we heard, in addition to him, there was also the main persons of the Old Testament. So Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. They had been brought there from the bosom of Abraham, where they had been waiting for the morning of the resurrection. At this sight, assured disciples that Jesus was the promised Savior, as prophets had prophesied. And Peter became in so good mood that he wanted to build three shelters, tabernacles on the mountain, and he wanted to stay there with Jesus, Moses, Elijah, and the other disciples, and to keep services there. And even the top, this was then the highlight was this, that that Jesus himself talked from the cloud, as he had done already before, and he couldn't show his face, but he was talking to them from the cloud. And God confessed Jesus as his own son, as he had done already before, as he had done when Jesus was baptized. And God said, "This is my beloved son, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." But also this speech of God was too much for the disciples, and they fell face down to the ground, and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them and woke them up, and when they stood up, they saw Jesus alone, without the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah were gone. So angels brought them back to the bosom of Abraham to wait for the resurrection, day of resurrection. And these assured disciples of this, that now the time period of the Old Testament was gone, and the time of New Testament had started. And then it is time to listen to the speech of Jesus. Why didn't Jesus stay there to live on the mountain, even though Peter wished to have that, to do so? First of all, this, that Jesus was still in progress in his work of atonement. And also that Peter, Jacob, and John, they couldn't take this word of salvation for themselves only, but they actually had to bring forth the message to everybody. Therefore, Jesus came down from the mountain. And he also brought his disciples to the other people. Dear festive guest of these services, have you been someday with such a mood where you just feel unmeasurably good, very good? I don't mean that having some state that the children of this world bridge with alcohol and drugs, but I mean such experience, heavenly experience that God may give. And God, when God gives such a good mood, one doesn't feel bad afterwards, and it doesn't corrupt the health of this of the soul and the body, which the drugs and the alcohol of this world does. And here can be also you listening to this, who have been betrayed by the enemy of the soul, who have fallen away from the covenant of baptism, from the belief to unbelief. And you remember how wonderful it felt when God awakened your heart and brought you back to your kingdom to believe your sins forgiven. Then Jesus gave you the feelings of joy that the newborn baby could be strengthened to believe and to endeavor as a Christian. Also those Christians who have been persecuted, they have needed the wonderful moments of transfiguration. One of the texts for this day is talking about the John of Revelation. He was captured to the Isle of Patmos to die, but Jesus appeared to John in a godly form, and he talked to John, and John received strength to believe and not to die, even though that was the intention for him to die there. Has God given to us who are Christians from our childhood, has he given those wonderful moments of transfiguration so that we wouldn't get tired on our way? And I dare to say that he has given to you, and he has also given to me, if not just wonderful moments, but very, very good moments and feelings. And then we have been able to feel some part of the heaven. This might have happened when we have been at the hearing of God's word, or when we have been together with our escorts, or when we have been able to unload our burden of sin, and we have been able to hear the absolution over our sins, and we have been able to believe our sins forgiven. In the past, there were less services. For example, the village where my mother lived, there were only 2 times a year services when the central organization SRK sent a mission speaker there. And between those services, the believers gathered at the believing homes and they had the singing services. And they took care of their matters with the gospel. But those service moments, they were wonderful. Where the vessel of the listener's heart was filled with the mercy and goodness of God, and it just poured overflowed, and there was lots of praises and thanks heard. I've been also as a young boy in those services, and many of you as well. And when there was a long period after the last services, then it was even nicer to be there. We can be often at services, but regardless of that, we are not. We don't get too much food, but still, each day we need to begin the journey from the beginning, and we need to believe for every day. And it can be also so that we can be twice a day at the service and additional here services from the internet. But then our feelings as well are more stable because we can eat the bread of God so often. But of these experiences, the transfiguration, this happening, they were very occasional. And that why Peter was not able to build the shelters there, it shows also that to follow Jesus, it is not to be in the great feelings, but it is to live in by faith, and sometimes also feeling very good and ordinary. But still, in our ordinary life, daily life, we don't have to be without Jesus. We can still hear the voice of Jesus in our daily life, that God also asked and commanded people to hear at the Mountain of Transfiguration. The gospel text of today tells what Peter thought later on of this one. Peter was very, he appreciated that sight, but even more he appreciated what God said out from the cloud when he said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Hearing God's word and believing it, that is the most important. And referring to this one, Peter said that even stronger is this prophetical word to us, and you do it well if you take heed of it, as the light which is shining from the dark place. So the most important is not to have great feelings. The feelings change. God gives good feelings. But in our corrupted portion, the soul lives in us. And also this body which gets sick and it has many pains brings often bad feelings. Because like a person like me who is so old, I am many times feeling pain when I sleep, etc. Then there is not so good feelings. But such is the life of ours. But then we can also add from our spouse that can I believe my impatient forgiven, and so I can believe. Such is the life and this endeavor in faith. The only firm foundation for us elders is the same, is the foundation of faith. And to you belongs this exhortation of God to listen to Jesus' voice. When Jesus was talking at the Mountain of Transfiguration, then Moses and Elijah got quiet, and also the disciples were quiet, and also we had to be quiet and listen. Then we need to give up our own ways and our own God and our own ways for salvation, and we need to listen to what Jesus says. And that is the reason why we have come to these summer services, so that we could be able to hear what God and Jesus has to say for us. Jesus doesn't talk to us directly from heaven, but he talks in the midst of his kingdom before he ascended into heaven. Jesus equipped his followers with the Holy Spirit, and he commanded them to proclaim to preach the gospel and the coming of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to those disciples whom he sent that who hears you, he also listened to me. Who how great is this mercy that we have been able to hear the speech of Jesus also at these services here at Reisjärvi by many different gifts to be revealed by the many gifts. And in this text of the Sunday of Transfiguration, it is said that it shines even the greater glory than the light of the law. It's even greater than the faces of Moses when he came back from the Mount Sinai after he had received the Ten Commandments. As among listeners, there are certainly also those who have been searching for God from the heavenly sites and from the artificial practices, spiritual practices. And day after day, you have felt disappointed. You, dear ones, the Savior wants to help to believe by grace, to believe all your unbelief and your sins forgiven, that you can believe in Jesus' name, His precious atonement blood. This gospel grants you the faith and the joy and the assurance in faith. And how great is this mercy that we do not have to measure, and we don't need to base this hope of heaven on our own feelings. And we do not have to work to pray. As great the prayer is, but we don't have to measure how much we pray. The salvation is provided to us only through grace. And this same grace you also are missing, you dear journey friend who are laid down with the many burdens and worries, you who have family and who don't have, and you youth who are very close to this world, or the world entices you. You can uplift your heart to believe, and you can believe all of your sins, all the temptations and doubts. Certainly they are believed, they are forgiven. And also you, dear kids, children, oh, how great it is that you have been taken to these services, and many also here at the service tent. You can also believe all of your arguments and all sins forgiven, Jesus' name and blood. Can I also believe my sins, my temptations forgiven, Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. I wish to believe together with you. And when we can believe in this way, all our sins forgiven, we can experience it for. We can live our, according to this service motto, that the Lord is the joy for our hearts. And this text has been explained at many different sermons and yesterday in that conversation very, very well. But it comes to my mind that this joy of a child of God, it's not always visible. Also, you, dear children, who are the examples for faith for us set by God, Jesus, you are not either jumping up all the time and praising God and saying that, oh, how great feelings I have. But you are playing in your, and you are just happy and you are satisfied. Such is the joy of a believer, a child of God, that joy is felt in our hearts. But also these services soon get to the end. But how great and fortunate it is that also in our daily life, ordinary life, we can hear the voice of Jesus and to believe, regardless of our feelings, how cold or hot they are. This faith is hanging on the promise of grace, even then, when the great temptation, when the tribulations and trials are met, when you lose somebody, when you lose your health, or some other very serious things. Even then somebody can get into such mood that it feels like he has been transferred to some other mountain, to the Golgotha, and he doesn't see Jesus as the transfigured Lord, but as the crucified offer, and Moses and Elijah cannot be seen, and the only two thieves, and God doesn't confess his son as his son. The heaven is quiet. There is no light. There is no glory. There is only darkness. But the darkness is the voice come out from the darkness, from Jesus. God, God, why did you forsake you me? And in that voice, the helping, crying of a person who is in very dark moments or situations, also him, he has permit to take heed of these promises of grace. And the victorious, and he starts to see, and he can still see the faces of the victor, Lord Jesus Christ and God. And as we heard at the beginning, the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, it was referring to the future. It was like a showing the resurrection of Jesus and his coming again back in his glory. The mountain of transfiguration, it was kind of a window to the heaven glory. And when Jesus comes here the second time, then the salvation plan of God is finally fulfilled and finished. And we can get to those services in heaven, where there is always bright weather and only good feelings. And those services, we do not have to get back to the ordinary endeavor of faith. But in heaven, the countenance of Christ, glory, they shine always glorified and bright. And we can see their God and Jesus from face to face. And this prophecy that we sing also, it becomes true that the cloud of darkness doesn't cover the face of Jesus. And nobody has any tears in their faces. So, dear ones, you can remain to believe all your sins and temptations forgiven. And you can be of good cheer. In Jesus' name and blood, in Jesus' name and blood, Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. And I also give this kind of wishes in the end, that have a safe journey, dear brothers and sisters, to the glory of heaven. There is always summer. And the midsummer roses are flowering eternally.